the city like a siren song. Wailing over the rooftops the whole night long. Saw a shooting star like a diamond in the sky. Must be someone's soul passing by. These are the streets where we used to run, where your papa's from. These are the days where you become what you become. These are the streets where the story's told, the truth unfolds, and darkness settles in. Oh, shine your light down on me. Lift me up so I can see.
Welcome back. This is our special 9/11 tribute, Remembrance Show. That's a 9/11 song and tribute to the fire department, to all the great firemen. Having a great Saturday morning. Here with Matty G and Peanut. We're having a great, great Saturday morning. Good food, good coffee, a little Thomas coffee. Scoot in close to that campfire. I've got a great friend, my turkey hunting brother. We've been turkey hunting since, I'm going to tell my age, since about 1983, 82, I don't know. It's been a while. Been a lot of camps together, and he's on a bear hunt this morning. But more importantly, we're going to talk a little bit about 9/11 during this tribute and remembered show. And my good friend and my brother, Mr. Gerald Bethge. Jerry.
Morning, Ray. How are you?
Good. Are you seeing any bears? Seeing boo-boo?
I have not seen a bear in the last 2 days, but we have gotten 3 bears. And, you know, we're not the most wonderful state to hunt bears in. It's Massachusetts, but we've gotten 3 bears all with a bow.
That's so cool. I saw the one where they got one with a traditional bow. I just love that.
Yeah, and you know, you can't use you can't bait and can't use dogs, and
awesome.
So that's same.
Yeah, really, that's some real boo boo hunting there.
Yeah, yeah, I hunt natural food sources, so it's pretty cool.
Cool. I really like that. Well, how are you doing today, my brother?
You know, I'm okay, Ray. First, I want to thank you for remembering. You know, people. Everybody says, never forget. People have forgotten. And my fear is that people have forgotten. And, having been there on 9/11, and when people are not standing for national anthems and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
People have forgotten. And you can't forget.
No, never forget.
And, I don't feel worthy of being on this show with Will, who was a true hero that day. But you can't forget. You can't forget, you know?
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you witnessed that day, Jerry, downtown New York?
At that point in time, I was working for Harris Publications. We were doing a bunch of outdoor magazines, and now I work for Outdoor Life. Our offices are in the city, and so my daily ritual is to take the train from Connecticut into Manhattan. And so that's what I did. It was an extraordinary day because it was, and your listeners probably will get this, because it was the day that summer turned to fall. There was a cold front had moved through, and it was just an absolutely extraordinarily beautiful morning, you know. So I get off the subway, and I'm walking down 26th Street, and our offices were on Broadway, and you could see clear down to the World Trade Center, and a plane came over. And planes come over Manhattan lots of times, or they did back then. But this plane was very low, and suddenly I hear. I mean, it was so loud because at the very end, the last quarter mile to the World Trade Center, Muhammad Atta, who was the obviously the person at the controls, gunned the engines. I mean, he revved the engines as fast as that plane could go. And I watched that plane sail right into the World Trade Center, the first.
Mm.
And I stood at the corner, and there were a bunch of people with me, and we looked, and we're like, what the hell just happened, you know? So, it was an extraordinarily clear day, and, you know, you didn't want to think it was a terrorist attack or anything like that. You just thought it was, an accident of some sort. But it was unbelievable. And the smoke started a whole bit, and we were just floored. So I went up to my office, and remember, this is the days before everybody had a cell phone.
Right.
Everybody had internet service and all that sort of stuff. And my desk phone started ringing off the hook, and I was getting phone calls from everybody. Are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, what happened? You know? So fielded those phone calls and went back downstairs, and we had a clear view to the World Trade Center. And Lamar Underwood, who was my coworker at the time, and he was the editor of Sports Field Outdoor Life, you know, in days past, we went downstairs and we just stood at the park and watched everything unfold. Sadly, we watched the second plane come in, and we watched the towers collapse, and it was shortly after that people started just were walking up. The sirens were unbelievable. You know, every single fire department truck in Manhattan was headed downtown, and it was deafening. It was absolutely deafening, and obviously very scary. And then people started coming, walking up Broadway from downtown, and they were covered in soot and all this sort of stuff. And you know, we watched the second tower collapse, and it was like, oh my God! You know, at that point in time, there was no way to get out of Manhattan. You were like you were trapped. So we went into his restaurant and we're watching stuff on TV, and there were two guys in front of us. I'll never forget this. And the bartender was pouring him shots, and they were kind of covered in soot. And I'm like, are you guys okay? And it's like, we were on the 10th floor, and we got out of there, and we just started walking up, and here's where we landed. And I was like, holy crap, you know, your only goal was to try to get out of Manhattan that day, you know. And it wasn't until, 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that, where trains were getting out of the city. I actually got out of the first train. You know, you see these videos of the Japanese subway service where people are pushing,
right,
you know, on trains and stuff like that. That's exactly what it was like.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, one of the things is people didn't know what was going to happen next. The buildings just collapsed.
Well,
nobody knows what's going on. Yeah.
We were standing in Madison Square Park looking downtown and watching all this, and we're waiting, you know, Empire State Building is right behind us.
Right.
And we're waiting for that to get hit. You know, you just didn't know, you know. You didn't know. But all I could think about was getting home to Amy.
Yes.
And I wanted to hug my kids. And that was like the most important thing.
Of course. All right, my brother.
And I'm still emotional to this day. 15 years later.
15 years. Never forget, brother. And I appreciate you coming on the show with us and sharing your story, because I really felt you need to tell that story, and I wanted you to be on the show with me. And you know that I love you, and I think of you all the time, and I really appreciate it.
And, you know, it was not a day goes by, to be totally honest with you, not a day goes by when I get into Grand Central on that train in the morning where you don't think about what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And that's why we appreciate so much the military and you know, the first responders. They're doing a hell of a job, and it's unbelievable.
All right, brother. Thank you, Jerry. We're against the break. We're going to have to go. Appreciate you sharing your story with us, and you have a great weekend, okay?
All right, we'll talk to you.
All right, brother. Mr. Gerald Betsy, Outdoor Life Magazine, great friend, my brother. He saw a lot. He needed to talk about that, Matty G. I'm so glad he did today on our show. With that, we're going to take a break, and when we come back on the other side, you better get you another cup of coffee and get in close to that fire. And don't forget to hug those loved ones, because this next interview is going to be unbelievable. Will Homino, my great friend, will be on after these commercial breaks to talk about his experience being buried alive for 13 hours in the World Trade Center. We'll be back. See you on the other side.
Saw a shooting star like a diamond in the sky. Must be someone's soul passing by.